Welcome to Last Save Loaded, Season 3, Episode 27. Good evening, good morning, good day, whatever time of day you're listening to this beautifully voiced podcast, including I am your host this week, Colm O'Sheridan, and joining me today, as usual, well, nobody else will join me, is Justin, I've been away on holiday, Smith. Good evening, Justin, how are you this fine, sweaty, climatic evening?
Climactic.
Yes.
I was going to say it's a me, Justin, as my audition to be the new voice of Mario after it's been Charles Martinet has announced his retirement from the role.
Oh, excuse me.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. There you go. I didn't even probably, know that myself.
It's probably so disappointed after. Got told he wasn't allowed to be in the Mario movie that he's like, oh, well, Chris Pratt can do it all the time then.
Yeah. I could just picture Mario putting two fingers up to Chris Pratt. Anyway, or to Disney, one or the other. Or Mario, whatever. Nintendo, yes. Disney seem to own everything these days, so I'm not surprised if they buy Nintendo out or something. I don't know. So, that bloke has been doing that for a long time, hasn't he?
A good 30-odd years, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Not that Mario ever really spoke that much in games, really.
No.
Only recently, I suppose. Yeah, anyway. So, Justin, what have you been up to?
Well, Colm, as you suggested, it's been summer holiday time. I had a...
Yay!
Four out of 5 days off work last week. So,
just in context to that, listeners, that is a long time for Justin to take off work. Okay, let's be honest here.
Well, originally I had one day booked, and then when Ruth said, oh, well, I've got the rest of the week off, I thought, oh, well, I'll see if I can also get the rest of the week, bar the days we're working. So I did. And yeah, we took a couple of day trips out. Ruth wanted to go to Norwich for a day, so... We had a look at the weather forecast. One day said it was going to be raining off and on, so we decided that was the day to be indoors. So we headed off to Norwich and spent a fair few hours at the retro arcade there. Now, we're not talking like the arcade that I took you to here in Ipswich. This is authentic arcade machines.
A proper one.
You want to play Time Crisis 2? They've got Time Crisis 2. You want to play House of the Dead? They've got House of the Dead. You want to play Chase HQ, which I did. They've got Chase HQ. And I'll
tell
you what.
How much? 20 cent a pop or 20 pence a pop or what?
It was pay an amount of money and then have unlimited come and you go all day.
Nice.
Yeah. And I did want to play Chase HQ and, you know, be able to upload a photo saying, here's another game I completed. But you may have noticed that didn't happen.
Yeah, I was wondering, yeah.
Yeah, well, coin-ops are designed to take money off you, even if they're on free play.
Yeah.
And I must have spent a good half an hour trying to smash up the car on the third level before I just went, do you know what, this is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I walked away.
Okay.
Saved my, you know, metaphorical money.
With a sulk.
Yes.
Good lad.
And then when we decided it was time for lunch, we went off to have some lunch. And then we said, okay, rather than go down into the hot gamer area, let's get some fresh air. Let's go for a walk into town. There's a board game shop I'm aware of in the town. Looked up where it was. Okay, let's go to Athena Games. And I didn't know that Norwich has quite a steep hill halfway through the middle of it. And neither did Ruth and her daughter.
Yeah.
Ruth was a bit dehydrated by this point. And, yeah, sure enough, I dragged the two of them up this hill. They got slushies before they left. And Ruth was offered, do you want the nice sugar-free version or do you want the regular version? She was like, oh, no, give me the regular version. Yeah, she wasn't too many sips in before she was like, I think I should have had the sugar-free.
Yes.
And it was also, it was warm most of the week. So we took this walk during a break from the rain and Ruth got quite dehydrated on the way back, you know, got the old wobbly legs. So
yeah,
we stopped outside of WH Smith's, which was the most obvious place I could see that had water for sale. So I popped in, got a bottle of water, and while Ruth's, you know, leant up against the window trying not to collapse, drinking this water, her daughter's like, can we go into the shop? Ruth kind of went, why? It's like, because I want to have a look around. Well, what that meant was, can we go into the shop and basically just stand in the middle of the shop, not looking at anything, until you're moaned at, and then walk to the other side of the shop, and then go, yeah, there's nothing I want here. And then we leave. But yes, we had our first day properly looking around it, looking around Norwich.
How far is Norwich from Ipswich?
It's about an hour and a bit, just over an hour.
Is that the picture where Trillian puts on Twitter about going around the roundabout?
Yes. Okay. Yes. The Alan Partridge was, you know, in Norwich, so there are many quotes such as "I'm going nowhere." I'm on the ring road. It was literally going nowhere, and she, sure enough, was on the ring road.
Okay.
And then also appreciated when someone uploaded a video of Alan Partridge playing Dance Dance Revolution and shooting zombies. I won't give you any hints as to what Ruth was playing that day, but she felt very seen. to be fair,
okay.
Dancing Stage Megamix or whatever it was, that's probably what tired her out. So that was on Monday. Cool. Tuesday, we set off early and went to Great Yarmouth to the Pleasure Beach and went on some rides and then went to the beach, which considering it was summer holidays, you know, school holidays, the beach was quite quiet.
Okay.
There weren't too many people around, so we had a nice bit of time on the sand. And
well, it was during the week too, wasn't it?
Yeah, but lots of people will be on holiday, like we were.
That's true, yeah.
Ruth got to bigger? Ruth got to dig a reasonably large hole for no reason other than because she could. And her daughter, bless her, she was like, okay, let's make a trap. We'll dig a big hole and then we'll get some sand and we'll basically build a roof over this big hole so that when people stand on it, they fall in. And, you know, we're there going, that's not how sand works. You can't build a roof with the sand. So she was like, yeah, but you get wet sand and then you can, like, it'll form a shape. Bless her, she persevered with that, with it falling in on itself for ages. Yeah, so we had a long day there, and Wednesday we went to a place called Walberswick, which is on the coast, and we went crabbing, and Ruth sets up the little crab line with the net on the end, gives it to her daughter, who casts off by just launching the entire thing, handle and all, into the river. So, bye-bye crabbing kit. Luckily, her nephew, her sister-in-law and nephews had joined us. They fished it out, bit later, Ruth decided to throw the whole thing in.
Yeah, as you
do. And it was fished out again. And then a bit later, I had a go, didn't throw the whole thing in, but threw the net into the river, and when I pulled it back, the net had gone. So that was the end of that exercise. But
okay. We
then went to the beach for a bit of time, and I was brave. I had my swimming costume on. I went into the sea.
Ooh, okay. When you say swimming costume, was it a speedos or was it an Arden onesie?
It was shorts that I was wearing like to travel up there. So I figured I'll get into the sea, I'll dry off before we then have the ride home. And you know, there is some beaches are sandy beaches and some beaches are rock beaches.
Yeah, oh God. Well, technically they shouldn't be called beaches if they're just rock beaches.
Yeah, well, this did have sand.
But
it had
rock.
Like a meter's width worth of sand, then a meter's width worth of stones, then a meter's of sand, then a meter of stone.
Okay.
So the water was not particularly clear. You couldn't see the floor.
Shit.
So I'm taking it very steady because, yes, there's a lot of rocks to climb over before the water's deep enough that I can actually stand comfortably. When I got out, got home, my foot didn't feel right. Yeah, I'd managed to cut the sole of my foot somehow, possibly walking across these stones in the water, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just, you know, proud to say that I went in the sea this time. I wasn't a complete killjoy.
Good, Justin. And that's what you get, a cut foot.
Yes.
Was it maybe one of them razor shells that done it or something?
No idea. Like I said, I couldn't see my waistline, let alone my feet.
I know the feeling, Justin. Don't worry.
We're talking specifically the water, not me looking down now. Thursday, we had a nice quiet day in, quiet day at home. Friday, we were back at work. And then on Saturday, we had a trip down to Colchester to Ruth's cousin's house as they were holding a surprise 70th birthday for Ruth's aunt.
Oh, okay.
Now, the big surprise was that it was her birthday like 8 months ago.
Oh, right. Okay. Right.
And, you know, we were all told she doesn't like surprises, so if she acts up, we're just going to take her home.
So did she act up?
No, she was very happy to see so many of us there. And we had a nice day of barbecue and food and chatting, and it was a long day. And then Sunday, me and Ruth had a bit of time to ourselves, went out for a posh lunch, because Ruth was supposed to be going out with her former colleagues from her old job. And then in the morning, she sent me a message saying, no, it's probably not happening. One of them's sick, one of them's not well, so it's probably not happening. But she's like, I've got a voucher for, you know, 40 quid's worth of food for 20 quid. So, should we go? I'm like, yeah, all right, we'll go. And we did. And then came home and I proceeded to do a bit of tidying in the office. So, once again, you can see the carpet and one of the boxes that was under the desk in my office that's been here since I moved in. I have now emptied it and removed the box from the house. So, I've done a bit more as far as moving in. Bearing in mind our
progress,
15 months. Yeah.
Progress was made. That's good. Progress is good, Justin.
Yeah. So, other than that, I can't remember what I did the week before. It was so long ago. It's been a busy week. But bank holiday weekend coming up. I'm on childminding duty on Friday and then the following Tuesday after the bank holiday Monday here. And then it's straight into... All ahead for month end.
Oh, lovely. Will you be going down to Swindon?
No, that's next month. I'll be here this month.
Okay. Oh, that's good. That's good. That's good.
Yeah. So
you're busy bee.
Busy bee, yes. What about yourself? Because you're now preparing to be back at college.
I am. I was back in college today.
It's still August, man. Don't they understand college isn't supposed to happen till September?
They don't understand, but there you go. That's because I'm an unemployed bum who's, you know, they don't like to give me too many holidays. But anyway, can't complain anyway.
You can always complain. Didn't do much really over the...
Yeah, well, I just, what's the point? So anyway, it didn't really get up to much over the summer. It's just the weather was just so changeable, and June was scorching, July was wet, and August can't make up its bloody mind. But yeah, so back to the Osprey, went there for 5 days. While I was there, I must have caught a bug, because all I wanted to do was sleep. Sleep, sleep, sleep. But anyway, we managed to get out and about and do a few bits and bobs, whatever Sandra wanted. So, yeah, managed to not buy any games, Justin, which is a force for me. Didn't buy any games while I was away. Usually I take a little photo of all the games I've picked up, but not this year. I just couldn't be arsed. It does help that Argus is not here anymore and that GameStop is not here anymore. So there's really only CEX down there. So, I mean, that does help. And I started to read again, so I'm reading on my Kindle at the moment. So, yeah, I'm getting back into reading a little.
Mm-hmm.
So went down to see Amelia too while we were there. She started to crawl now, starting to get the hang of the crawling. You know, there's a lot of, you know, movement in crawling, as I'm sure you're aware, but there's a lot of coordination involved as well. So when you haven't done it ever, I'm sure she'll get the hang of it in a couple of weeks, and that'll be the end of Rachel's energy levels. They'll just be shot through the roof,
yeah.
Running after her, picking her up, putting her back, running after her again. Yeah, hell's going to happen. Anyway, so that's her problem, as I say. So, yeah, apart from that, we went back to College State, did some programming, got back into the programming aspect. And, yeah. All good, really. Still streaming in the mornings. Still doing a bit of streaming every morning before I got to college. So, yeah, got back into walking into college. So, that's good. It is hot. It was hot today, but it was a good gale force breeze. One of Mick's sheds, he has some that steel roof on one of his sheds. Anyway, that steel came off his shed, so we had to put that back up. There was quite a stormy night on Friday, so yeah, storm breeder or something. I don't know what they call them. Anyway, they have a name for each one. They go through the letters of the alphabet. They go through the men and then they go through the ladies. I don't know. Anyway.
Stormy here on, I want to say, Monday night.
Last Monday night.
It was
not this Monday night.
One day, anyway. Not last night. Alright,
cool. Oh, yeah. Okay. Cool. So, yeah, so that's been basically been it. Back to school now. Going to get my work experience next month, hopefully. Start that next month. Well, it's not just work experience, there's a whole aspect of the course, like you have to prepare for a job interview and all that shite, which, you know, I should have, can do that with my eyes closed. Even though technically I've never actually got a job from an interview, it's only through people I know that gave me the job. So yeah, maybe I'll learn something new, who knows. And then hopefully I'll get some work experience in the actual college by a different lecturer than the one I have, because you can't have this the lecturer that's teaching you give you work experience, because that could be deemed as biased.
Yes,
so that wouldn't be fair, would it? Anyway, so yeah, I met my cousin last Wednesday. He's over from England, so we had a couple of sociable drinks. That was nice, and his son was over.
Yeah,
so yeah, that was nice. That's it, really. Nothing more to report, Justin. So let's move on to what was your last save loaded in chronological order, Justin. That's a big list.
Well, I didn't put down any of the games from the arcade, so...
Oh, thank God for that.
My last save loaded in the chronological order was Tabletop Racing World Tour, because I am trying to finish this bloody game.
You're trying to get the plat now.
I would like the plat. I'm only four, I think, maybe five trophies off getting it. But all I need to do is finish one race in first place, which I've tried repeatedly, and the best I can do so far is second. So I've kind of moved on, and I'll come back to it later.
Yeah, yeah.
Finish this one racing and get gold, and finish first in the Supercar Championship, which I finished second, and prior to that I'd finished third. This evening I managed to finish off the drift challenges, which are normally just the bane of my life, but yes. I managed to get those sorted. So once I've done those, I've just got the like the challenge missions to do, and then I should have the platinum. So
nice.
I'm getting there. Getting there. It's just I wish certain cars weren't suddenly faster than all the other cars just so that they could finish first.
Yeah.
But it's not as bad as Mario Kart on the Super Nintendo. Next on the list is Moving Out 2. Yes, okay. That's the new one that's come to PS Plus Extra. Speaking of which, Mr. Collie, did you download a pass for yourself for PS Plus yet?
Yes, thanks, Justin.
Lovely.
I did. I decided to go with the Extra rather than the Premium because I didn't, you know, apart from... In fact, if the Premium games that come to Premium, like the old PSP games, if you had previously downloaded them on your PSP, you also get them to download free.
Uh-huh. Wow.
So there's a couple in there that I'd obviously bought over the years that I have, like the Killzone one.
Yeah.
And one or two others as well. So I was able to download them free. So I just went with the Extra one because that has the games anyway. And I downloaded Shredder's Revenge.
Lovely. Well, I'll get that downloading. But Ruth has expressed an interest in maybe, as it's cross-platform, trying to play Moving Out 2 with yourself. And if it really is cross-platform and we can play with the PC... Perhaps we can get your co-op buddy George to join us.
Oh, yeah, he'd be the PC and we'd be the PS4,
yeah.
PS5. Yes. Oh, yeah, cool.
Yeah, that's an option.
Yes, cool.
But yeah, so Ruth and I played this last time. We had previously finished Moving Out 1 and people...
Is this frustrating? Is this as frustrating as cooking one, Overcooked? No,
this is what I'm going to say, right?
Okay.
People are often amazed that Ruth and I don't get wound up and frustrated with each other when we play these games. Like the only
there was a couple of close calls there in the what was that game that you were playing with Ruth? The
Operation Tango.
Yes, there was a couple of moments of maybe that was me and you when we played. Anybody moves and they won't get killed or something. Remember that one?
Keep talking together. And nobody explodes.
Yes, yeah.
See, even that, I played with Ruth over the internet. She had the bomb manual and, she didn't get stressed. We haven't played since she's got the VR there.
You're clearly suited to each other, unlike me and you, Justin.
But yeah, we didn't... When we played Overcooked, the only thing that kind of bugged us was the fact that it had that horrible mechanic of you can't go any further in the campaign because you need to go back and 3-star all the levels. Whereas Moving Out 2 just kind of goes, you finish one level, you might need to like grind a little bit and get your player level up, but you don't need to get more stars. And we finished the first kind of world, for want of a better phrase, on Moving Out 2. Because this one has portals, and rather than a big map that you drive around, you you go to other worlds to the multiverse, as it were, to do levels there. So we've done a few of that. Then you will have seen I put out a nice photograph of myself at about 1 o'clock in the morning, having finished Roombo First Blood and got the platinum for it.
Okay, so where did you get this? Is this on Premium?
No, I bought this for Ruth when she, after she'd done her, day of platinums.
Oh, yeah.
Because I I think I'd seen Connor, or good old VDJOMB, had played this. It might have been Tatson, but one of the people I follow on Twitter.
Yeah.
And they sort of said, you know, this is a relatively straightforward platinum, the idea being that you control a Roomba robot vacuum cleaner. And okay. you're defending the house that you clean because it's getting robbed, like people are breaking in through the windows. And you yeah. have the ability, as this robot vacuum cleaner, to hack the sprinklers and put water on the floor so they slip over. You can make the ceiling fans drop down to hurt them. You yeah. can cause...
Is this a VR title, Justin?
No, this is just okay. like a nice a sort of 2.5D style one. Right. You know, you can make the shower trap someone in it and burn them with scalding water. And yeah, you know, basically, you're trying to kill the people that are robbing the house, and then you have to tidy up and vacuum up their footprints and their blood. And it's only about 9 levels, but it's more of a like test of could this work for the developers. But, you know, it's a neat little indie game. And it passed a few hours. And because it's Roomba, if you kill enough people, you get a little red headband on your Roomba. Roomba.
All right. Okay.
I have played the occasional bit of Blood Bowl 3, still just chipping away at my online season mode. Next game I finished, Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle on the Switch.
Nice.
Yeah, and as I put on my Twitter profile when I posted this, I can see why people have likened it to XCOM, but it seems to lack any fun. Apparently one of the... Mario doesn't jump, so he just follows around this glorified Roomba, which does all the talking via text on anything and does all the actions like moving blocks around or moving statues. But when you come to a fight, you basically go through a little flag post and it'll say, okay, defeat everyone or defeat 5 monsters or get to the other end of this. And I'd got to the point where I won't say I was over leveled, but it was targeting me to finish these, like, defeat everyone in 6 turns, and I was doing it in 3 or 4. So I was thinking, yeah, I haven't really got a problem with that. And I've used the same 3 characters throughout 90% of the game.
Right.
And then it puts you up against a dragon.
Okay.
And suddenly it just face rolls you, and you're like, I can't do anything here. I looked online and it said, yeah, that's because you've been playing with Rabbid Peach and Rabbid Luigi, who are both close melee characters. You need to swap out to have Mario and Luigi, who can both do the Overwatch mechanic of XCOM, where if it moves, you can shoot it.
Right.
And if you put them both in the right position, you can effectively take out half its damage, half its entire health, as soon as it activates. Which is what I did. And yes, I then finished that boss on the first attempt after that. And then you go on for a little bit more puzzling, and then you come up against Bowser.
Right.
I refused to do everything with in the same manner, with just trying to play keep away and shooting from maximum range. So I ended up doing the vast majority of it with just one character. Just to see if I could. And it said, like, target is 5 turns. You did it in 17. But I didn't care, because the game's finished. And, yeah. I am definitely not buying the next Mario and Rabbids.
I don't think the second game sold as well as the first, because it's definitely on sale a lot where, you know, online and even CEX, it's cheap enough. So
do you know what the biggest problem is, right? It felt like work.
not fun.
Yeah, you can see the challenge of, oh, you've got this little area and you can go through the pipe and come out the other side and you can do damage by running into things or shooting it or hitting it with a hammer or whatever, or jumping on it. But you've got to set up your squad so that you can like jump off each other's shoulders and things. Whereas in XCOM, it doesn't really matter where your people are. They can just shoot or do sniper shots or whatever. Like, they don't interact with each other, really. And in between the missions, you kind of have to just wander around the map looking for the next fight and doing silly little puzzles that some of them are quite obvious and some of them are really long and tedious. I never had a problem with any of the puzzles, despite some of them being awkward. But when it starts going, okay, now that you've finished this area and unlocked a new ability, you can go back to earlier areas and you can find the hidden batch of missions. And I just went, no, you're all right, thanks. I got interest in doing that. So, no. And the day before, I finished Bowser's Fury, which was the two-player sort of spin-off side
game, yes,
that came with Mario 3D Land.
Yeah.
3D World.
3D World, yeah.
Yeah. So I played this entirety of this game with Ruth's daughter.
Yeah.
It was the first game that we played as just us.
Right.
I suggested it. I said, no, you be Mario and I'll be Bowser Jr. And you know the two-player mechanic of Mario Galaxy was,
yeah,
one of you plays Mario and the other one plays a little icon on the screen that collects everything. It wasn't much different from that, in the sense of the camera was locked on Mario and Bowser Jr. is in a flying car, so he can just, there's a token up in the sky that you're supposed to do loads of platforming to. Yeah, I'll just fly up and pick that up, then you don't have to worry about that. And bless her, she did a good two-thirds of the game. The only times that she asked me to take over was when it was a timed like race or catch the rabbit and things like that, and the Bowser fights themselves. So
fair play.
Yeah, I was really, really proud that we finished that game together.
Nice. Is it long? Is it just like a DLC pack or is it an entirely full game?
It's a full game, but it's a Mario one. So if you want to, you can go for every star in the game, of which there would be 100. If you just want to see the credits roll, you can get 50. And if you want to do that in about 4 hours, you probably can.
And is it just a reskin of the 3D Land, 3D World, or
no,
3D World,
no,
or is it different?
It has the same upgrades. So you have the Fire Flower, you have the Cat Bell, and the amusing thing that we worked out was all the animals in the game, like the seagulls, had cat ears on them. The Goombas had cat ears on them. You know, and bearing in mind that the child is cat mad, that was a big appeal to her.
Yeah.
Even when you have giant Mario versus giant Bowser, you're a cat. And
right,
it's, yeah, there's like a little hub that has 5 stars available, and then you unlock another area of this, like a new island that has 5 stars available, and you only need to do a couple here and there to unlock the next one. But if you just sit and pick them all up in the first area, pick them all up in the second area, obviously you do that 10 times and you've got enough to finish the game.
Yeah.
So there's still a fair chunk of game left to do. But
yeah,
what was a bit weird was the fact of, if you say, like, you know, a lot of games like to use the word of biome these days, and if you said each one of these hub areas was a biome, the first time you go there, it'll say, like, turn on the lighthouse, basically. So get the first cat shine, or star.
Yeah.
And you do that, you've got to leave the biome and come back, and then it'll say, right, now you've got the race for five, you know, race for red coins or whatever, race for blue coins even. So it doesn't, it's not like Mario 64 where you go through the painting and then you can select which mission you want to load into.
Yeah.
It's a case of it doesn't tell you what the next one is until you leave and come back. And sometimes, like, there's ones where there'll be a locked up shine, you've got to find the key somewhere on the level. You've got to leave that biome and come back for it to reload and put the key on the map somewhere.
Right.
So it was a little bit frustrating, the fact that you couldn't just go, right, what's next? You had to fart about on the map for a bit and then come back.
Right.
But, like I say, it was enjoyable, and it was enjoyable playing a two-player with an eight-year-old. Excuse me.
Cool.
And I can, from what I understand, if you were to play the single player, it effectively, the game will control Bowser Jr., and it will say, how much help do you want from him? So you can set him to, I'm rubbish at this game, I want him to attack everything and defeat it for me, and I just want to run around and have fun. Or you can set it to, get him out of the way, I'm playing this game. Or presumably somewhere in between.
Cool.
Other than that, one of the days I was looking after the child, we dusted off SingStar for the PS3.
Nice.
We did a bit of singing. Oh. Took a few pictures, sent them to Ruth. She finished work. She came straight round, and she then proceeded to have a go of singing as well.
Excellent.
So that's been experimented with, and I'm sure that either Friday or Monday it'll be played with again. The only other game that I have played that I'm going to mention is, I'm still, when I'm over at Ruth's house and I'm allowed to use the console, which that sounds really horrible, but
it does, doesn't it?
What I mean is, I have to wait until the daughter's gone to bed, and then it's either a case of, should we watch something, or do I want to read a book and you play something, or, you know, it goes on like that. So sometimes Ruth will just say, well, I'm always playing, so you have a go. So, I've said before, Kerbal Space Program, when you look at it, you think, these are cute little dudes. This has got to be a fun, easy-to-master game. You don't think, this is going to take rocket science. Science is not a word, but
it is now.
And, you know, you've got to try and work out how to put a ship in orbit. And, like, so first mission, it will basically say, build a rocket and test it on the launch pad. Like, fire your parachute before you even take off. Just test that you understand the mechanics of the game. And then it'll ask you to send a rocket up into the air and bring it back down with a parachute without blowing it up. And then it'll be like, okay, now try and break into the atmosphere. And then it'll be, okay, next one is get into orbit. So you start having to think, okay, well, if I try and fly my spaceship straight up, what that means is, yes, I might break into the atmosphere, but all that's going to happen is you're going to get to the top of the arc when you run out of fuel, and then gravity's going to take over. You're going to turn around, you're going to come straight back down again. So what you have to do is start launching up, get a bit of speed. When the air starts to thin, you have to start tilting the rocket so you go around at an arc, and then you don't burn up on re-entry from travelling so fast. But you have to be careful which way you turn, because the planet is spinning, and if you turn the wrong way, you have to effectively negate the planet's spin. And it's like really stuff that you wouldn't even think. You'd think it's just build a fun rocket, send it up.
Yeah.
So I'd mastered, I'd managed to get a ship built and put it in orbit. And then the next one, it was like, okay, now do a flyby of the moon. Like, okay. So I watched a video and this guy built this really big rocket, and I understood what he was saying on it, and I tried to match it, and I did the same thing, and I managed. Then you have to go, okay, well, you don't just aim for the moon, because the moon's orbiting, so you have to aim in advance of where the moon's going to be and hope that you catch it. Colin, the first time I did that, I flew my ship straight into the... I did Russia, basically, what Russia have just done with their lunar lander, and I smashed it into the into the moon.
Okay.
So then I was like reloading my save. Okay, so now I'm going to aim to not quite reach the moon, but be near it enough that the moon's gravity then picks up. Well, that slingshot me into space, so then I had to have another go and try and, like, you know, not loop around the back of the planet and the moon. And because of the way it distorts your, like, the gravity is applied on the moon, and then the moon leaves, and now you're in a different orbit back on the planet, it basically turned me into a satellite around the planet, travelling just slightly slower than the planet. So I put it on, like, times a million speed and just watched the orbit of the planet around the sun and the orbit of me around the sun, and it was just ever so slightly faster than me. So I thought, yeah, I'm going to have to wait here for about 70 million years for the planet to catch me up. So I reloaded myself. And then the next time I'm like, okay, I've run out of fuel trying to get back. And Ruth's just looking at me going, I have no idea why you're putting yourself through this. I'm like, because the sense of achievement when I do it is fantastic. So, yeah, that's what I've been playing at the moment. What about you? What was your last save loaded?
I hope you get that sense of achievement, Justin. Hogwarts Legacy this morning at 7 o'clock.
Is this your stream of the day?
Yeah, this is my stream of the day, yes. So I'll get 7 to 8, and then I pop off to college as usual. And, yes, I had to do one of the puzzle side quests. So there's three rooms in there. I did the first two, no problem, and the third one. All I kept saying was, I know Justin would do this even with his eyes closed, but I can't figure out what to do.
Now, that would mean me playing a Harry Potter game.
Yeah, well, it's... Yeah, I suppose it is a Harry Potter game. I'm no fan of Harry Potter, as you well know. I've never really talked about Harry Potter. I the films were okay, but you know, it wasn't for my age demographic in 2000 when I was 37 or 33. Was it 33? Yes, probably 33 or somewhere around that. So I'm still enjoying it. I did have to go with the embarrassing live on stream look up a walkthrough for that particular puzzle because it was wrecking my head, but I did it. And yeah, still continuing on with the adventure. I am about 27 hours in, I think. 43% of the game complete. There's lots of side missions to do. There's lots of collectibles. There's, you know, just lots of stuff to do. George showed me how to do one of the puzzles, so that was good. Thank you, George. And yeah, I'm still enjoying the game. It looks great on PS5. Then Red Dead Redemption 2 on the Steam Deck. I'm still going through that. I'm not just mainlining it. I'm doing all the bits and pieces, side missions, and strolling around the map and picking up strangers and see what's
picking up strangers. They
have. Yeah, talking to strangers, should I say. And little side quests and so forth, so I'm enjoying that. Then I took the old Switch out yesterday and I started playing Shining Resonance Refrain, continuing on with that.
Are you playing this on the Nintendo?
Yeah, Switch, yeah. So I think I'm about 12 hours into this game. It's old school, hack and slash. It's not hack and slash, actually. It's an RPG more than hack and slash. Well, it's got hack and slash elements. It's not turn-based, so it's just go about slashing them up. It's old school. I think it's a PS2 game or a Dreamcast game or something, or a GameCube game or something. But it's remastered, obviously. And, yeah, mechanics are really old school, but it's enjoyable.
Yes. Good.
So you go into the main hub, you talk to people, they give you a quest, you go do the quest, or you collect so many things and stuff. So, yeah. Animal Crossing New Horizons, still playing that again, and just getting some fancy new fencing and collecting my fossils every day. and going swimming in the sea. So I also got a Kirby The Forgotten Lands, one of my last purchases from GameStop before they went under.
Yeah.
And I've never really played a Kirby game before. And let's just say it's not quite challenging, really. It's a breeze, but it's a fun breeze.
Did you not play Kirby's Epic Yarn on the Wii?
If I did, I probably only played it for a few minutes. I never got playing it fully, like, you know.
I found that, cute as it was, there was no real challenge. You couldn't die. The only way you could die was, well, I say you couldn't die. You almost never died unless you set yourself on fire.
Yes. And this has that same feeling where you're not, you know, you don't feel like you're going to die at any minute, or it's certainly no Elden Ring, but it's an enjoyable romp, as they say. And it's cutie. And it is the first Kirby 3D game. So it's a bit like Mario Galaxy in that respect, but it's not as open world as that. So basically, you know, it's a bit like Mario 3D World, where you, or not 3D World, Mario, what's the other game, Mario game you have on the Switch?
Bowser's Fury?
No, the other one, the other Mario game you have on the Switch that you get your shortcuts to go through and all that stuff.
New Super Mario Brothers U?
Yeah, a bit like that, yeah. So you go into the map, you start off in an area, you select that area, you get your fairies or whatever they're called, and then once you've completed that level, you come out into the world and you select the next place to go to, basically. Yeah, so that's good. Then I seen Jet Atros on, who's follows me on Twitter. He's been playing Wreckfest on his Switch, so I have Wreckfest on the Switch, so I decided to join them. And it wasn't in voice chat, it was just a group of people getting together to race in his servers, private servers. So it was it wasn't a shout fest like it usually is with me, and there was no vodka drank, so it was a sober affair. But it was still fun. Not as fun as on the PS4 when we used to play. Yeah, you never had fun, but everybody else did.
I did see your tweet showing that you'd been playing on the Switch.
So that's it, really. I just want to say a big thank you for the Cocoa Pops bowl and spoon and the cinnamon and the strawberry, dried strawberries. I also didn't get the chocolate in the box either. It's great. This is why I wouldn't buy it on Amazon. Unless it's a game, I don't buy like stuff like that. But I am. That's my go-to bowl now for eating my Cocoa Pops in, so thank you very much.
Ruth was devastated that it was received cracked.
Yeah, well, it's not leaking, so I'm going with it. And, you know, my previous experience with buying a bread bin on Amazon was I'd have been better off keeping it and trying to fix it myself, because they charge you a phenomenal amount of money just to send the thing back. So, yeah. It works, it's fixed, and it's doable, and I fill my bowl up every night. Thank you.
I'm happy that you're satisfied.
It's some Twitter comments. Well, one Twitter comment, actually. good old Ian Bitdead at Bitdead77. Fantastic show, gents. Thank you, Ian. Much appreciated. And now we get to the question of the fortnight, which Justin so lovingly wrote.
Colin wrote, fashion. Justin copied and just edited ever so slightly, because he didn't actually put a question of the week up until Colin messaged him on Sunday and went, yeah, here's the question then. So question of the fortnight was, Colin and Justin are recording on Monday. We'd like to know your thoughts on backwards compatibility. Does it matter to you when choosing a console? If so, do you play old games on your new, shiny, current-gen console? Now, Colin, before we get to the listeners...
Yeah?
You do have a bit of a history of buying consoles, selling consoles, and then buying them again. And Ruth upon seeing this question, she said, it's an odd question for Colm to be asking. Do we think he's bought something new? And I went, well, maybe he's bought like one of these three, these retro consoles that are doing the rounds at the moment, like the emulation ones. She was like, yeah, that's probably what it is. And because we know that you've been playing stuff on your Steam Deck, but
yeah,
have you got something to tell us?
No, I don't actually, Justin. I actually recently sold one of my illegal consoles, as they say. illegal handheld consoles. It was a Retroid Pocket 2 Plus, which I'd purchased last year. And there's a lot of tweaking involved with it. It's small, and my eyes aren't as good as they used to be.
Yep.
And it's been sitting on my shelf for the last 10 months, basically. So I just got money for it and sold it. So, no. But what's happened recently was, I wish people would stop telling me about these things, but what's happened recently is Connor, VGJRMB, texted me yesterday. For some apparent reason, he thinks I'm a Nintendo specialist or something. I don't know. He said the son was out at his cousin's and they gave him their old Wii U.
Right.
And a Switch. And I went, wow. Really? Well, anyway, apparently the Switch was a mistake. And so he had checked with his sister. And apparently that was not meant to go back with him. but the Wii U was. Right. So he started asking me all these questions about a Wii U. And he said, do you have your Wii U? And I said, no, I don't. So
you didn't say, but Justin has his.
Well, I didn't say that, but I mean, he was looking into investigating how to do things with it, so I just showed him a certain demographic way to do it. So, yeah, but
demographic,
or showed him the way. So
demographic.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. Explained.
Yeah. Okay. That's right. I was thinking you were saying democratic then.
Oh yeah. So ever since he's got one, I want one, Dan. That's the way my brain works. But I'll persist because Santa would quite literally.
You don't need a Wii U. You have a Switch, no. Which is the Wii U Plus.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
And if the rumours are to be true, then next year you'll have a new console.
Yeah. So yeah. So and on top of that, I can actually play Wii U games on my Steam Deck if I really wanted to go down that route. I haven't quite got the hang of putting Switch games on the Steam Deck. That's a bit trickier, but it is possible. And no, I haven't bought Red Dead Redemption 1 on the Switch either.
Just as well.
I've already completed that game. I completed that game on the PS3, so I have other options if I wanted to really play it again, but I'm playing Red Dead 2, so yeah. And technically, I should play Red Dead 1, 2 before I play Red Dead 1. But why would I play Red Dead 1 again when I've already finished it? Anyway, unless it's Skyrim, of course. So, yeah. So, Darren Ragnar, back to the question of the Fortnite. Darren Ragnar at Justin_Knowles. Backwards compatibility was absolutely a timing factor for when I upgraded, rather than if. Knowing that my backlog and favourite games to revisit would be available without having to keep two systems hooked me up mean. I upgraded a couple of years sooner than without backwards compatibility.
Yeah, that's up, hooked up, meant, not mean.
Oh, sorry, meant, yeah. I'm serious, I'm not the glasses.
I think you don't. It makes sense. I don't know why you're...
I thought that was meme with an exclamation mark, but I couldn't see.
That's a T, meant.
Yeah, I could see. Yeah, thanks, Justin.
Knowing that my backlog and favourite games to revisit would be available without having to keep two systems hooked up meant I upgraded a couple of years sooner than without...
Realistically, I should just let go. Justin, I ripped all the comments. So yeah, thank you, Justin. The other Justin, I mean.
Paul W at just_wondering_ says, backwards compatibility works great when the game has been enhanced. such as the Xbox, such as the 360 games on the new Xbox upscaled resolution. Maybe 60 frames per second, but I'm not such a big fan of playing old titles unless enhanced.
That's fair enough. Dave, at YellowBug 1969, due to being fully digital now, it's nice to have access to games I bought on earlier generation consoles, but it's not a deal breaker if it wasn't available. I'm not someone who gets angry if I can no longer access something I bought and played years ago. What do you think of the Xbox 360 store closing down next year? It's not that you have any thoughts on it, because you don't care.
Yes, not really.
It's not a big deal, I mean.
It's not going to affect me very much, no.
It's not going to affect anybody, really, because any titles that are backwards compatible are still accessible, so, yeah. And any titles you downloaded before, you can still download them, so.
So, we had Dave at Yellowbug 19.
No, we didn't.
We had Trillion Penguin, PIHC, at Bouncy Cynic, who says, we just keep hold of the old consoles. It is nice to play older games on newer consoles, though. And this is the thing, that my interpretation of backwards compatibility is, it's nice to have, but you move on very quickly. And you stop thinking, like, I don't know when the last time was that I thought, oh, I'll just play a PS1 game, or I'll play a PS2 game. I mean, God, if I want to play a PS3 game, yeah, as Ruth said, I'll play on the PS3. But people seem to have this disposable idea that if you're going to buy a new console, you need to get rid of the old one. And I understand that people are limited for space, and, you know, I sure as hell am, but you find places to put them. And if you want to play on the authentic stuff, you can. I think people that scream about backwards compatibility are doing it for the wrong reasons. They're the same people that say how the original Final Fantasy VII is fantastic. It's like, yeah, look at it. Look at it. Someone's put a few squares of pixels on funny on funny painted backgrounds.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, the gameplay
at
is
the
fine.
Time. At the time.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It was four discs on the PS1, I mean. You know, that was huge. That was a big deal, but that's 30 years ago nearly now at this stage. Well, it'd be 94 was when the PS1 came out,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, I think 97, 98 is when Final Fantasy VII came out.
Yeah. So still nearly 25, 26, 27 years ago. So when you think, you know, that far back, I mean, if you're the one that wants to play Final Fantasy VII on a PS1, you're the one that never upgraded to PS2, PS3 or PS4. You just stuck with the PS1 era and you were happy with that, you know. What can you do? And also, when you do play an older game, I think for me, going back to the PS3 is okay, but going back any further, for me, isn't.
I think it depends on how the games. Yeah, the games themselves. Because, like, I got the Super Nintendo Classic, and don't get me wrong, I haven't turned it on in a long time. It has been turned on since I moved in, but those games, for the most part, are absolutely fine because they're 16-bit side platformers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
There was that awkward era around the PS1 when they tried to move to the 32-bit, where if you look back at them, you know, like I think Mario 64 looks horrible as a game.
Yeah.
Some people obviously still love that. Well, fine, get 64DS. It's a better game.
Yeah.
And it looks better. But I'm sure the 8-bit Nintendo games, I would probably be okay with those, despite the fact that some of them were truly awful. But I certainly wouldn't be looking to go and start playing Atari 2600 games.
No. Oh, Jesus, no. I couldn't go there. I just couldn't. So I was just playing a PS3 game a couple of weeks ago, and I said, this is the furthest I could go back before, you know, I wouldn't, you know, unless it's a driving game like Burnout on the PS2, maybe that's acceptable. But yeah. Anything else for me is just, no, I don't find it enjoyable. So, yeah, PS3 for me is the furthest I could go back, or I won't go back. But even so, when you're playing a PS4 or 5 game, you realise it's not just the graphics that are improved, it's the mechanics of the games as well, the way they move, you know, the ease of the controls, and, you know, the way they fight, yeah. You know, they swing their sword. All that stuff is, you can see the difference when you go back to playing a PS3 games. The characters are a lot clunkier, they don't move as freely, and yeah, it's just the auto aims and stuff like that. It's totally different, yeah. So you know, people give out that this generation is not graphically that impressive, but there's other aspects of the, you know, games that have been improved that are in the background, you know. So yeah, so Steve Barnett at sbarnett82. I don't have the space to keep all the old consoles, so being able to buy either digital or physical old games to get that replay fix on your new console is always welcome. And just a podcast mentions, hear us out, Game Burst, 60 Minutes with Film Guff, Lapse Gamer Radio, to which I would like to mention I was on Lapse Gamer Radio last week talking about Castlevania Season 4. And yeah, that should be out soon. Seal Podcast. Yeah.
Lovely.
So thank you, Justin, once again for a beautiful evening of chatting.
Thank you.
And what are you up to now, Justin?
I am going to go out downstairs and I'm going to do some miniature painting.
Nice. Okay, well, enjoy your miniature painting, Justin.
And I might try and finish those bloody races on Tabletop Racing.
Nice. Well, enjoy yourself. So, Justin, where can people find you?
They'll find us on lastsaveloaded at gmail.com or at lastsaveloaded on X or Twitter, as we obviously all call it. And I am at Onya6 on that Twitter. And yourself, Colin, where can people find you?
Notice how I waited this time for you. Yeah. You know, you can find me at MultiPlatman on Twitter X, and you can find me streaming most mornings, week mornings at twitch.tv/solemn67. So, say goodnight, Justin.
Good night, Justin.
Good night, Justin. Bye.
How is it going?
It is going wonderful, thank you. Old boy, old chappy.
Let me just pull the micro-recordio phone a bit closer.
Oh, the micro-recordio phone. Yes, very good. Why haven't you got anything in what you've been up to, Justin? It's not like you not to have anything to be in what have you got to been up to.
Hmm? Too much.
Oh, too much. Hooray, chappies. Okay, let's stop talking like an old Vietnam War veteran. Or, no, actually, a World War II veteran, actually, I suppose. Yeah. If I was a Vietnam War veteran, I'd be going, golly gosh, giddy gee, golly gosh.
There you go. I've put some wording in there now.
Good. Okie dokie. How is life, Justin? You're back to work today.
Yeah.
Well, I can't really talk about that now. Should we get cracking on with the show, as they say?
Yeah, I mean, it's entirely at your leisure, but yes, I would I would appreciate that, as it's getting quite warm and sticky here in this room.
Yeah, it's getting warm and sticky in this room too, Justin. Okay, 3, 2, 1. Oh, I remember the claps this time around. Okay.